Thank you and good evening. The countryside, a land of milk and subsidies, where nothing gets your goat unless it's another goat. Where farmers and pheasants go round both in braces. Where the fields of waving corn testify to the miracles of nature, particularly as the farmer planted lettuce. Well, you're never depressed for long, because when you're feeling low, you can always milk a cow. In fact, it's the only way you can milk a cow. Country lanes dotted with young couples on the verge. and old country styles more sinned against than sinning. The countryside, where we hear eggs are going up, which may be worrying news for the hens. The silence broken only by a goose screaming, "Whoops, I've been peopled." Country people think nothing of getting up at 6 in the morning. Town people don't think much of it either. The countryside, the home of many nudist health clubs, where men and women go to air their differences. Of course, agriculture as we know it began thousands of years ago, when man suddenly, breathtakingly, was on the verge of perhaps his most important discovery. Is a countryman at heart, though the countryside for most of us is something we see on television. It's a running brook in a commercial for flaky chocolate bars. It's every young executive's dream in thrusting, purposive, pragmatic modern Britain to buy a tumble-down dwelling with a leaking roof and no sanitation. The fact that they could get it in North Kensington is neither here nor there. But you can always tell a townie in the country. They wear sturdy, weatherproof brogues, chunky, thorn-proof tweeds, and lean on country gates smoking a meditative pipe. And that's only the women. Seriously, old folks. It's so bewildering for townsmen. One of them was watching a countryman fishing for roach, and when the hook was eventually pulled in with nothing on it, he commented, "By gad, that worm put up a hell of a fight." There's nothing you can do in the country that you can't do in the city. It's just that in the country there's so much more space that you're less likely to get caught doing it. Though even in the country there are agreed forms of procedure and business.
Is your father in?
Oh, if it's a babe, the prize bull, Harold. He's got a wonderful pedigree, and Dad charges £35 for him.
It's not about the prize bull, Harold.
Well, we've got old Cyclops. He's a bit past it, but he's still got a lot of go in him. He's a bargain at £7.10.
Look, I don't want to see him about Cyclops or Harold. It's about your brother, Arthur. He got my sister into trouble.
Oh. Oh, I don't know what Dad charges for Arthur.
Of course, farming is getting more and more mechanized. You probably read in the Daily Mirror earlier this week about the bull who sired 50,000 calves without ever even meeting a cow. I've heard of beef extract, but this is ridiculous. though a group of Devonshire dairy farmers are so dissatisfied with mechanical milking methods that they're going to take things into their own hands. A new type of drug is being given, a new drug to farm animals. It contains male hormones, female hormones, and a tranquilizer, so the animals are ready for anything. And if nothing happens, they don't care. Even the fields are changing. One of the team reports that he saw sheep on the Sussex Downs labelled 50% Terrilene. Before the war, young people were rushing into the town from the countryside. Life is easier now. They just wait in the countryside and the towns rush out to them. Meanwhile, in the countryside, life goes on as it always has.
Let us pray for our good friend and neighbour, George Purvis, husband of Annie Purvis, and father of Jack, Teddy, Mary, Fiona, Susie, Colin, Julia, Larry, Charlotte, Sally, Tom, Victoria, David and Jenny, remembering especially that his case comes up on Monday.
Next week, we'd like your peeves about employers, unions and so on for industry on a postcard, please. Our favourite peeve about the countryside came from Mrs. L. Mowat of Bramhope near Leeds, who said, I should like to send congratulations to last year's winner of our family's Spot the Worst Possible Country Picnic Place competition. It was a party we saw picnicking, she says, in the car park outside the grounds of Fountain Abbey, whose food we had to step across to get into the ladies. It's a real home from home. One of the team comes from such a small village that he says we didn't even have a village idiot. We all had to take turns. There are a lot of programs these days, of course, about gardening on the radio. Very few people have ever actually grown anything on the radio, but programs about the countryside are always interesting.
Good evening. We have in the studio with us this evening Mr. James Pugh. Now, Mr. Pugh, I believe that you have a budgerigar. What have you taught your budgerigar to say?
Good evening.
I see. You also have a parrot. What can your parrot say?
Good evening.
That's absolutely fascinating. What was it that first made you try to teach birds to talk?
Good evening. Good evening. Good evening. Oh, pretty bright.
Mr. Corbett will be continuing to do that in 24 hours later tonight. Ronnie Corbett, who used to milk cows on a farm. In fact, he was the very first condensed milkman. The countryman, of course, is full of old country sores, the result of bites from old country insects. Most of the sores, though, are packed with incredible country wisdom. When the oak do shed its leaves, the woods be full of fallen oak leaves. If cherry do blossom in February, it'd be a very funny time of year for cherry blossom. If the 1st of July be rainy and the sheep be out to graze, watch out for wet sheep. We've just heard that at the Royal Dairy Show, the Cow of the Year award was won by Buttercup the Second, owned by Her Majesty the Queen and ridden by Scobie Breasley. It's all very well, though. In fact, as someone has suggested, there's a whole generation of children growing up who think that milk comes from a machine. We wondered if that was how children in towns these days saw the countryside.
And how do you know when you're in the countryside?
Well, we see a lot of cherry blossom trees.
What other sort of things do you see in the countryside? Animals and things?
Not animals. We just see cherry blossom. Trees. Cherry blossom. Trees we just see.
What?
Just cherry blossom trees.
Anything other than cherry blossom trees?
No.
What about milk? Do we get that from cherry blossom trees?
No.
How do we get the milk?
From where was it? I forget.
Do you think cows play any part in getting us milk?
Yes.
Do they? And where are the cows?
In fields.
What do we get from the cows then?
Milk.
I see. How do we get the milk?
Oh, how now. Let me see. Oh, yes. The milk comes... No, the moo cows come on lorry to where the milk is made, and then they cut the moo cows in half, and then they get the milk cow.
The BBC have signed him on a 5-year contract. There's always been the country greenhorn who used to try and milk the bull. Nowadays, of course, he asks where you recharge the battery hens. Indeed, a new organisation has been formed, the Keep Britain Ugly movement. They want to make Britain a paradise for the pylon watcher, the abandoned car spotter, the ordinary man who wants to get away once in a while from the fumes of the flowers, the screech of the nightingales, and the continuous clatter of the butterflies. They aim to cover Britain in huge car parks and to provide muddy fields so that people who come to look at the car parks will have somewhere to park their cars. So send in your subscription now. Only £2,000 will fill the entire Norfolk Broads in old mattresses for a week. But an even more well-loved feature of the countryside is the fate worse than death that they hold annually, and the speech worse than that that somebody invariably makes afterwards.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, members of the Tidwish Parish Council, I would like to thank all of you who worked so hard at our annual garden fete on Saturday afternoon. As you know, we had hoped to get the famous film star Marlon Brando to open it. In fact, I was on the phone to him in Hollywood only the day before, but unfortunately, the pips went before he said anything. However, it was very good of Mr. Thompson from the library to step in at such short notice and open the fete for us and give us such a masterly summing up of the war in Vietnam. And before I go any further, I must put in a word of thanks to the village builders who on Saturday put the marquee up so quickly. And so often. Miss Rubithorn's display of seasonal flowers in vases was a real joy again this year, and all thanks are due to the 2nd Wolf Cup Patrol for getting them back to the cemetery. The bran tub also made a very good profit, as there was nothing in it. Cleverly thought out, Mrs. Grant. Now, a special word here for Mr. Potter and his self-peddling magic glider. A jolly good idea. It was just unfortunate that his first trip coincided with the RAF flypast from Tidworth Aerodrome. He thanks you all for the get well cards and hopes to be able to answer them all personally in a month or two. Mr. Marsden, our fortune teller, could not be with us this year owing to unforeseen circumstances. Thank you. But as usual, many of the villagers rallied round to entertain us. Mrs. Hargreaves gave a recital of Gurkha war songs and fertility dances. And P.C. Rogers showed us how to make a typical arrest. Happily, Mrs. Hargreaves was allowed to rejoin us later in the afternoon after questioning. Now, we come to the problem of what to do with the proceeds. As you know, the money was to have gone to the Save the Village Hall Fund. But since the hall was burnt down during the fire brigade's How to Put Out a Simple Grass Fire demonstration, this fund is now closed, and the money will be put to our next social function, which is the Darby and Joan Club's performance of Swan Lake at the Open Air Baths. Thank you very much.
Mr. Ronnie Barker, an expert in animal husbandry. And one day he'll make some animal a wonderful husband. That really is the picture the townsman has of the countryside. And he thinks, the townsman thinks, he loves it. In reality, of course, he hates it. A townsman's love of the countryside is rather like his attitude to the Blackwall Tunnel. He'd rather drive through it than live in it. You can shut off an alarm clock if you want to go back to sleep, but just try shutting off a rooster. The Englishman lives in a town and calls his house Ambleside or Ben Nevis. When he retires, he goes to live at Ambleside or Ben Nevis and finds them covered in houses with names like Hendon and Surbiton and Thistledew. Of course, experiments continue at cross-breeding, all the while the traditional experiments. One of the team crossed a rabbit with a skunk and got a dirty look from the rabbit. He then crossed cauliflower seed with corn seed and got a field of corn with cauliflower ears. One farmer wrote in to say he once crossed a field with a milkmaid and didn't get a damn thing out of it. It's not as if townspeople really ever get into the country. If all the country were removed except for what's visible from the main roads, 99% of the nation would be none the wiser. Though, of course, the people who build roads made a pretty big impact on the countryside.
There's a sign that the roadmen are working today. Their beacons are blazing to show you the way. With their iron mouth monsters, they eat up the side of our country of flowers. There's no place to hide. They've carved out their bypaths from the solid red clay. They've caused that the river should change in its way. They've molded its course with a great concrete span, and they're working their hours each day to a man. There's a sign that the town will be freed from the roar of the diesel-fed engines of benzene and more. They'll forget that the town is entwined night and day by another arterial roadway. There's a sign that the river will forget all its pain, that the torn and scarred fields will be silent again, that the swift rush of traffic will make it sound still from the pounding of monsters, the crash of the drill. There's a sign that the roadmen are working today. Their beacons are blazing to show you the way. With their iron-mouthed monsters, they eat up the side of our country of flowers. There's no place to hide.
The countryside is many things to many people. To the Sunday Mirror, it means a bikinied Swedish au pair girl kipping down in a field of daffodils. To the people, it's a sensational and scandalous discovery of a coven of witches in the Chilterns. And to the News of the World, an unhappy ending to an afternoon's picnic when a third... Have you ever seen News of the World readers like this? Fantastic. When a 35-year-old red-headed attractive widow begged a lift from a 42-year-old thick-set lorry driver outside Chichester. Sidney Dobson was conditionally discharged. Of course, the farmer, that's a man who shakes hands one finger at a time, keeps up the old picture as much as he can. The old picture's vital to him. No one would agree to all those subsidies or to keeping the wages so low for a prosperous business. But they do it for something they believe is still romantic and oldie-worldy. According to the farmer, his subsidies are cheese-paring, his taxes are crippling, his crops are failing, his hens won't lay, and the Rolls-Royce is up to its hubcaps in mud. One farmer was asked how he'd managed to make an overall profit when all the other farmers said they'd made an overall loss. And he said, "It's quite simple, I buy cheaper overalls." Funny, really, how people give themselves away. Even someone like the Location of Offices Bureau. Their advertisement says, quote, "Get more leisure, more time. Get away from it all to the pleasures of an office in the country. Right now to the Location of Offices Bureau, 27 Chancery Lane, London, WC2. Mind you, you must admit that all that publicity can be pretty persuasive.
It is amongst these pleasant vales and hills, for so long the realm of the farmer, the goat herd, the bird and the beast, that Imperial Trust Assurance Limited have taken the plunge from their crowded quarters in Threadneedle Street and found a new location for their office in the country. Like most of the employees of Imperial Trust, Mr. Walters enjoys the walk to work in this fresh, pastoral setting. Mr. Walters has been with Imperial Trust for 31 years, yet in these green fields he has found a new lease of life and an office of his own. Another busy day begins at the office. Routine, however, is much the same wherever you are. There are always claims to be sorted, policies to be filed. There are letters to be dispatched and envelopes to be licked. But any businessman can always look forward to visiting the girls in the typing pool. His way to the washroom. The morning flies past and Mr. Walters returns to his office to find a client waiting there whom he is entertaining to lunch. Takes him to the executive dining room which the firm has provided for just such an occasion. Here, in tastefully simple surroundings, no expense is spared. The menu is varied, and the food could not be fresher. After lunch, it is time for the managing director to go home. And after he is gone, what is there to keep the rest of his staff? It's time to shut up the office for another day. But of course, with no long journey home to contend with, working in these surroundings gives men like Mr. Walters much more time for other country pursuits. Mr. Walters enjoys the rush hour now.
And here is the result of today's sheepdog trials. All the sheepdogs were found not guilty. And that's the countryside, really. The most evil bit of factory farming we could find was in Sussex. One farmer near Lewes has a conveyor belt under the hens, so that when the hen lays an egg, she looks down, finds nothing, and lays another one. In short, farmers are simply hard-headed businessmen. In the words of the Bible, they shall turn their ploughs into steel shares. Good night.